the action item's obvious. If I were to say right now, action item, each week, Vinny shows up with more than just his opinions, but he brings two or three actual demos of AI products. That would put it as an action item. Yes, Vinny?
That's correct, Jason. Okay.
This Week in Startups is brought to you by Masterclass. Learn from the world's best minds, anytime, anywhere, and at your own pace. Get 15% off an annual membership to Masterclass at masterclass.com/startups. Merge. Let your developers get back to their core product. Merge is a single API to add hundreds of integrations to your app. Integrate up to 3 customers for free today at merge.dev/twist. And lemon.io. Need to speed up your product development without draining your budget? Hire vetted engineers from Europe at lemon.io. Go to lemon.io/twist to get 15% off for the first 4 weeks.
All right, everybody, welcome to This Week in Startups. It's our AI roundtable with Sunny Madra and Vinny Lingam. If we look a little different right now, it's because we're trying out Vinny's super cool new product, weightroom.com. Tell us, welcome back to the show, Sunny and Vinny.
Good to be back.
Good to be back, Jason. Thanks for joining me in Weightroom.
Yeah, so it's weightroom.com. This is your product. I see 3 video windows. Looks similar. It's in a browser. It looks similar to Zoom with some slight differences. Tell us what we're experiencing here and how AI works into all this.
So if you just click on the right-hand side, you obviously see people, but go to the Summer, yes. Summer AI.
Summarize,
exactly. Yeah.
Summer AI. Summer.
Yeah. And so you can then see all the stuff, which like we've been chatting about before we started the recording.
So
action item, Michael to investigate audio and video stems and assign it to Michael. Michael's my co-founder, is in the room here as well. It's listening and it gives insights there that you have. You can scroll up and see all the different stuff we've spoke about. And it's really cool because we're going to have a Slack integration button here. So you'll be able to push these things to Slack and you can push to certain people.
This is crazy. Look at this. It says catch up. The team engaged in a casual conversation about video quality, beauty filters, touch up my appearance, and recording methods during a virtual meeting. That's an accurate description of my first 5 minutes on here. So if somebody was coming in, they can catch up really quickly. But also this insight here, the action item's obvious. If I were to say right now, action item, each week, Vinny shows up with more than just his opinions, but he brings two or three actual demos of AI products. That would put it as an action item. Yes, Vinny?
That's correct, Jason.
Okay. What's the lag between me telling you an action item and it actually getting done? And then also Summer AI summarizing it. So it's actually, 2 questions.
So why don't we get my co-founder, Michael, to chime in quickly. And this is the chiming feature. So he gets 45 seconds to tell us.
Oh, okay.
So it takes about 2.5 minutes. Obviously, you can't summarize every second because that wouldn't make any sense. But it's approximately 2.5 minutes of conversation that we summarize in chunks as they go along. We also, the stories also get better over time because we keep feeding that context as the conversation's happening to the LLM. And so it gets more accurate and just, improves as it goes along.
What's more difficult, Michael? The new state of AI and working with these language models or dealing with an insane dictator like Vinny? Sorry, you're out of time.
You're out of time.
That's the end of your 45 seconds. Sorry, Michael. That's actually pretty cool, though. I'm looking at it right now while we were having that chime in feature. So this is kind of cool for a live audience. I could allow people 45 seconds and I can hover over that end key and just end them anytime I want.
Absolutely. And you get multiple people chiming in as well. And you can have
multi-chimes.
We've had hundreds and thousands of people in the room. So it's like kind of like Twitter Spaces, but with video. So you could do a video, like the 3 of us, and then people, you can add more co-hosts, or you can just have people chime in for a few seconds.
Sure. Great. What I like about it, though, is while we were talking, it did an insight. And again, it's like a DVR. It's like every 2.5 minutes, it chunks the transcript and tries to make sense of it. And here it says, insightweightroom.com can help teams catch up faster with meeting summaries and action items, et cetera.
Except it transcribed Weightroom incorrectly. W-E-I-G-H-T versus W-A-I-T room. Now, the cool thing is that now on the back end, we're going to train that. And so it'll now recognize that when you refer to Weightroom, it actually means Weightroom. So it's going to get smarter over time. And when we move from GPT-4 to 4.5 or 5,
as well, we look, my action item came in. So let me do another action item here. Action item. Allow each Summit AI item, whether it's a catch-up, action item, or insight, to have a threaded comment thread and port all of those or pipe all of those into a Google Sheet, Notion page, or Slack room. So we have them for all time. That's an action item.
That'll,
Michael, do that. Action item, Michael.
So, you know, I think...
This is great for a dictatorship. This kind of software really shows the power of dictators. No, Michael cannot chime in. No.
Okay. So he's
no. Not Michael, you had your shot. That's enough. Enough of you, Michael. Mike's like, I want another 45 seconds.
Well, that's the beauty of this. So anyway, so I think the purpose of this demo here was to just show you like what we're doing. And so what we're actually focusing right now is on VCs, funny enough. So because VCs have a very strong power in the industry right now. If you're a startup and you get a link from a VC, you want to pitch them on, you know, on your startup, you don't care whether it's a Zoom link, a Microsoft Meetings link, or a Waitroom link. You'll use whatever they give you to join the call. So that's the first thing. Secondly is VCs tend to be a little lazier. They don't want to be updating their Salesforce every single time they chat to a startup. We will have a Salesforce integration where every time you have a meeting, it updates when you spoke to them, and then also put in information, insights from the meeting in there into the notes, etc. And the reason this is interesting is that we are building custom prompts around our LLM, and well, we'll have an LLM in the future probably, but for now, custom prompts on GPT, on OpenAI, and those custom prompts understand the VC's business intricately. So as the startup is pitching, giving things, giving ideas, it'll be able to alert you to potential conflicts with other startups in your portfolio. It'll be able to tell you, maybe you should connect this guy with that, with another founder in the portfolio. So we're going to make it very customized. And the Summit AI tab right now is common between all three of us, but you could have a private tab as well, where it gives you private insights. Like, hey, Sunny's company is in conflict with this other portfolio company. Be careful not to tell them about this project that the company's working on.
Be careful with that. Be careful with that feature.
Well, no. So we have to train it, right? So once the model's well trained, it's going to give insights to the VC or whoever is the host and private insights. So I think that's powerful.
That's a really interesting idea. Okay, Sunny, you've been hearing all this and you're looking at it. What are your thoughts on this 1.0 of real-time meeting transcriptions, action items? I know some other people like Otter, and there's a couple of other people who've had some, touched on some of these ideas, but this is pretty much the best execution I've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, I think in your action item just showed up in the right here. Look, I really like this. You know, it's almost, there's like two aspects. One, there's the real-time capture of information that's like, you know, generally been a problem. And I think, you know, Vinny has it done it really nice, like integrated natively into the product. A lot of those tools, you have to add them as like extensions or like a new person into a Zoom meeting, which obviously, you know, changes the dynamic of a meeting. So I really like that. I think the other thing that's cool here is the feature that Vinny just talked about is like the back channel, right? So whenever you're running a meeting, you always have some kind of back channel running, either it's you know, within a private chat or a WhatsApp or iMessage. And so and most of that is just for context of like, oh, hey, like let's talk about this next or something. And so I think like combining that could be really, really powerful. These actions are coming in really great. Like I think
It did the other action item, which was pipe AI items like catch-up, action items, insights into Google Sheets, Notion, or Slack, which was the exact. Yeah. So in order for these kind of technologies to work, you need to have some percentage confidence, I think. Right, Sunny? Like, I don't mind if weight room is spelled wrong. You know, that people could hear that wrong. Like a human hears that wrong all the time. Yeah. I might say palm and they think it's palm. Yeah. You know. I might say Apple, they might think it's Snapple. It doesn't really matter if it gets a word wrong once in a while. But if it gets the gist of it, I can edit it and work on it. But when you have a great product like this or a great starting point, Vinny, I always tell founders this, you can tell when something's really got some potential. Something does have a lot of potential if users, when using it, immediately come up with 5 or 6 ideas. Now, that doesn't mean that it's the perfect roadmap. It could be custom software for them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But at least it means, Sunny, that people are inspired. So what do you think you add to this next? What are the features you add next to Weight Room? If you were on the board or you were an investor, I don't know if you are an investor, what are you telling Vinny? Hey, dummy, you missed this, this, and this.
Well, look, I think the opportunity here is when Zoom took off, you know, during the pandemic and at the start, it was really low friction. What's happened is as it's, you know, kind of gone enterprise, it has lost some of that low friction stuff. And now there was reasons for it. People were showing up in random Zooms and all that. So I'd say go back to low friction, Vinny, keep the cost super low. I really like this idea of shortening the meetings. And so you're already kind of doing that. And so, and then integrating with the other tools. I think that's the biggest you know feature here is integrating into other you know workflows
connect the API to If This Then That and Zapier, and you've got
we're doing Zapier very soon as well.
Tons of integration.
And by the way, it's free, so like we're not even charging for it right now. It's free because you know we want the models to learn and train, and so the more conversations we have, the better we're getting at doing this. So
and the good news for building services like this, I remember there was a Sequoia company that made video conferencing as a service. And I think all like AWS and Google, they all provide some sort of video relay as a service now. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which ones have you tried or which one do you use? Any thoughts on the back end here and how effective that
I haven't used any of those.
Yeah. So you didn't have to write the video back end though, right?
No. We use Agora. We use Agora on our back end. There are a number of companies doing it, and Agora's been doing it for quite a while, and they're a public company, and we've been working, and you know, we kind of used them, I guess, when Clubhouse was blowing up, and they were using Agora, and we said, okay, well, we should try it as well, because they got to some crazy amount of scale. And by the way, Clubhouse went the same VC route as well. They went to the VCs first, built the community, and then it just blew up. And we started using Agora, and the product has improved dramatically over the past 2 years. I mean,
Features,
And the founder came from WebEx, and the other founder, co-founder, co-founder of Zoom as well. So, these guys understand their business, and we're very happy to, you know, use their platform. And it's going well. I mean, like the quality we're running this stream at 640 by 360. We can jack it up to whatever, right? So, it's pretty easy for us to go up because while it's free right now, this is live in production, by the way. So it's just free. So we're running low res because why should we pay, the high res? We're not charging people. We're still in product development phase. But as the product improves, and we can go up to 4K. So, that could be an upgrade package, right? So you pay for Waitroom, the AI is built in, you want 4K, you pay a little bit more, you want integrations into certain, into Salesforce, there's a fee for that. So there's ways for us to make money on this.
You could also have a third tab here, which is transcript, and you can annotate the transcript. So you could have another one, just the, running transcript, and you can annotate it.
At the end of the meeting, you're going to get a meeting minutes of the entire meeting. Yeah. So it get emailed to you, and then you can forward it around, or you can send it to the people in the company. So we do already.
Even here, when you have an insight or a catch up or an action item, it tells you the timestamp of it, and so that is super helpful. If you wanted to jump to the timestamp, you could.
Yeah. And it's a range. Like the last one is came through here, 10:36 to 10:38. So for the past 2 minutes. We've been speaking about Agora's experience at Clubhouse and founder's background. Like, so it tells you the time, it's not a single timestamp, it's the range of when the conversation is
happening. Yeah, it's great.
One of the reasons why criticism can feel obnoxiously aggressive is that sometimes people use criticism to sort of dominate or assert superiority. And that is not helpful criticism. So state your intention to be helpful.
That was Radical Candor author and friend of this podcast, Kim Scott. She just did her masterclass session called Tackle the Hard Conversations with Radical Candor. A great concept, a great philosophy of running a business. And if you're a business leader, hey, you're going to learn so much on masterclass. There are amazing lessons from Bob Iger on leadership, Chris Voss on negotiations, Alexis Ohanian, another friend of the pod on startup investing, and so much more. These are the legends in their specific verticals, in their crafts, and Masterclass will teach you what they know, and you're going to learn on your own time. Paying for an unlimited Masterclass subscription, it's a total no-brainer. Listen, how many times in this life do you get to hear from this level of virtuoso? Very rare that you get to. And that was just one, insight from Kim in 15 seconds. Imagine how much you're going to learn in 10 minutes. maybe in 2 hours. Why don't you set yourself up with a masterclass subscription? Here's your call to action. Super simple. Get unlimited access to every class. And right now, as a Twist listener, you're going to get 15% off when you go to masterclass.com/startups. That's masterclass.com/startups for 15% off an annual membership, masterclass.com/startups. And I guess you could pick more or less. So that would be kind of cool too, is if I could have three settings, like more details, less details, because, you know, and then also, does it know who everybody is?
Yes. Because it knows it. Yeah, exactly. So it knows you, Jason.
Yeah, so that's kind of interesting for our producer Nick. You know, when you have guests on the show or people are speaking, you get four different quick times from them and you can kind of line them up. But when you send a raw Zoom meeting, it doesn't know who's who, right? You have to train it on who's who. If you're using a service like Temi or any other Descript or whatever, you have to like assign who is who. But here you don't. You know 100% who is who because they dialed into the meeting. So that's kind of awesome as well. You could put the percentage that people spoke, who didn't speak. You could do what is the one for salespeople? Gong. And there's a bunch of competitors to Gong. You could put like people who ask questions, people who are inquisitive, people who are definitive. You can kind of, add those kind of characteristics to it. So when I use Grammarly has a feature where it will tell you, I don't know if you, do you use Grammarly, Sonny?
Yeah, I use it.
Do you, either of you pay for Grammarly?
I do.
I pay for it too. So it's very interesting. Yeah. And I pay for all my teams to use it. And when they don't have it on, like on a video conference, I go nuts because I'm just like, look at these spelling errors. Look at these grammar errors. Like, I'm a writer. Like, I have errors. Like, if you're going fast and you're typing, but it has AI built into it now to make things longer, shorter, et cetera. But it also just has tone detection. So it's like, this is definitive.
Well, that's the thing. So with AI, you're going to have, in the future, within 3 to 5 years, we're going to have the ability to read Sunny's face, your face, my face, look for like expression points, see, oh, Jason's angry right now, Sunny's happy, etc.
That's my bullshit face.
You'll be able to do all these, I think you'd be pretty cool stuff on, especially large groups. Back to what you were saying about the summaries. So Michael's actually working on daily digest right now. So you'll be able to get a daily digest of all your meetings, daily stats, summaries. And oh, the other cool thing, Jason, you could say something in this meeting like, hey, Nick, ping me next week, or even say, Nick, I'll send this doc to you by Sunday. And on Saturday, you'll get an email from the system saying, hey, you promised Nick in this meeting.
Reminders.
So
now,
reminders. So because it's intelligently understanding what the conversation is about, we're going to make it way more integrated into your life.
It's interesting if you combine this, Sunny, with something like Slack or Asana or Notion or Coda, where people are doing their task management, et cetera. You could have these conversations, know the project we're working on, and have the OKRs or whatever. Yeah, and have the context of that,
Yeah, I think what's interesting here, Vinny, like, you know, when you've been evolving this product and it's Weight Room, you know, from its first incarnation, but it really is interesting now that you could think about this as a AI native like meeting tool rather than the Weight Room concept. And so that's super powerful because it's doing all the work, and it's what we see these AIs doing for us. And so I don't know, maybe you have to even consider the name change or something like that.
Yeah, we've had some conversations about that. That's definitely
Waitwood's great. Weight Room is great.
But Jason says it's nice. So I think also great. Like it's
one word domain name. It'll add all this other features.
It sticks to the sort of roots that we have. We can consider it. We do have like Notion integration as well. You'll be able to ask Summer, like, hey, Summer, what are the sales for the past 3 months in the company? And if it's in Notion, it'll look it up and give it to you right there. So while you're having a conversation, having a meeting, you can actually, without interrupting, like, interrupting the flow, opening up a new tab and whatever else, be able to pull that information out.
You have a live assistant who's doing work for you. It's like having Jarvis Avengers meeting. You know?
I tried getting jarvis.com. I was thinking about that.
All right, enough. This has been great. There's your 20-minute commercial for Weight Room. But seriously, great job on the AI features. And let's go back to Zoom and finish the episode. All right, Sunny, you've been great at getting a bunch of really interesting demos every week here for our AI roundtable on This Week in Startups. Over the past week, what did you play with? What did you find most interesting?
Yeah, so I'm going to touch on some things that we saw in different places, I think a couple weeks ago. So I'm going to just pull up a video here. And we tried the Google music generator. So now we have, which was called Music LLM, now we have Music Gen from Facebook and Meta. And so very similar. Interestingly, you know, there is someone has taken it and themselves and hosted it at Hugging Face, because, you know, we've talked about what Hugging Face is doing for the AI community as well, which is great. And so very similar to the Google one we looked at. It's a Facebook one, and you know, it's hosted here, so it takes a little bit longer to generate. So I pre-generated, but you can see the examples down below here, where if you want an 80s driving pop song with drums in the background, or a
ooh, I like that.
90s. Yeah, you want to try this one?
Yeah, sure.
All right. We're going to have to wait a second here. This does take some time. But so this particular service is generating, again, music samples. I think really, really powerful for creators or, you know, folks that need intro, outro music. Maybe for this pod, we can generate one of these now, because we can do something slightly different than what's already there in the default This Week in Startups, JCal.
Okay. Let me ask you a question about this processing speed that's going on here. If you had, if you were doing this on your local computer and you had some great GPUs, would it go faster, or is this using a lot of cloud?
No, this, because it's a free service, is not using a lot of infrastructure. So you're probably getting like shared GPU services. So if you had a really great GPU locally, you would definitely get like a faster return here. It's only generating about 12 seconds as well. Okay. So, yeah.
So let's
hear it.
Yeah. This feels like a Miami Vice episode. Miami Vice, a two-part series this Sunday night on NBC.
So,
I was going to talk in the episode.
Okay.
It's pretty great. I have to say that, like, if it's doing this today, it's going to be doing so much more. I was, you know, when we went to see Kygo, me and Sunny went to see, is it Kygo? Is that how you pronounce his name?
I think Kygo. Kygo's amazing.
I decided I would like to be a DJ and do a DJ set. I want to do like a JCal AI DJ set, but I'm going to need help. I want a completely AI generated original DJ set. So I'll put that on the list of things that somebody can help me with to get themselves a general admission ticket. I need a producer or somebody to prompt engineer. I don't know what I need exactly.
I think you need a prompt engineer, a producer that is also good at prompt engineering.
I mean, in the future, you'll have like prompt engineers and then, drop in some Grimes vocals from the AI there. And just get a producer, get blood pop to polish it off.
Done and done.
Yeah.
But so, you know, look, why is this interesting? We're just seeing now, and like, well, let's maybe pause this one for a second. But, you know, Facebook's work in and around the open source is great, because they're making these models available for everyone to use and pick them up, working obviously very closely with Hugging Face. And so I think it's great for the ecosystem.
What's going to be great about this, you know, Vinny, is if you look at the bottom 50% of music usage, it doesn't require, you know, all that much quality. It doesn't require that much uniqueness. If we were doing something where we needed a little bit of music for a short film or commercial background for an ad read in a podcast, you know, this will let you, instead of using stock music for your YouTube video, create something unique for you. But the truth is, those people would never have hired an actual musician in the world to do this. They would never have spent $1,000 on it. They would have bought stock music for $10. And so here, instead of buying stock music for $10, you can do it for free and make something truly unique. And that's just something that dawned on me, Vinny, is that we're going to be able to make unique stuff that's better than clip art and royalty free.
Yeah, so I'm actually investing in a music startup that I can't tell, a little bit more stealthy, but they're basically, their thesis is that music gets democratized. Like, I can't play an instrument, right? So I'm terrible. Like, I can't play music. I love listening to music. I can't play it. And so they're trying to make it simpler for people to create this music and using AI as part of the whole thing. I think we're going to see a lot more of those types of startups in the market, where you're basically enabling the mass market to be more participatory in the music industry, creating music. Now, obviously, you're gonna, you know, it's one of those things where music itself, to learn like how to read music and sheet music and how to play instruments, is it takes years and lots of like muscle memory, etc. Now, I think there's definitely an opportunity for like what Rock Band did, right? Rock Band crushed it when they came out. They kids were playing Rock Band all the time on their PlayStations and drumming and whatever else. And I think you're going to see more of that. I think you're going to see more startups leveraging AI to basically make it really, really easy to create your own music. And this is a good example of it already.
Well, you can see where this is going to go, Vinny, Sunny. Very simply, there will be one of these for drums, one of these for guitars, one of these for vocals, one of these for piano. And, you know, you'll be able to specialize in a particular instrument, you know, and go deep on that, right? Like, if you just think about guitar, I saw you had like a guitar riff. You could start really, an AI could go very deep just in guitar, whether it's classical or rock or heavy metal, you know, folk music, et cetera. Nobody's done that yet, right?
No, I mean, I think, and that's a really good insight, J.K.L., in terms of like where we're probably going to go overall with these models is, we'll start with really large ones that are generic, and then we'll work our way into like, you know, I guess like almost application specific. And so a really great one for guitars and a really great one for synthesizers. And so, and then people will specialize them in the way they do with real instruments, right? They'll understand how to work with them to get them, you know, like as a musician can understand how to work with a guitar to get it to generate, you know, incredible sounds. We'll see the same thing here.
Yeah. And then the next step, Vinny, is, you say, here's an artist and here's their catalog. Here's their views and comments on YouTube. You know, so you take an artist, you know, that has an incredible library, say Bob Dylan. Just feed in the entire BobDylan.com lyric site, every album, every bootleg concert. And then you say, come up with a new song for Bob Dylan that combines, you know, this news story, you know, something happening in the world with, you know, and write me a protest song or give me some ideas for a protest song. I did this the other night where I was trying to come up with names for a new conference. I was brainstorming after Angel Summit went so well. I had an idea for a new conference and I was brainstorming with ChatGPT and I was like, come up with a name for this new podcast and this new conference. And it has to have this word in it. And it came back with three incredible names that I would have never come up with. And this was in the first 10 minutes of brainstorming with ChatGPT. So the brainstorming forgives your accuracy. Hallucinations in brainstorming are good.
Great.
You know, kind of like, that's why people smoke weed. And I'm not advocating smoking weed for kids listening. But that's why some people will, you know, take a gummy or smoke some weed and then come up with brainstorming ideas. I kind of feel like we're also going to see something in that vein where you take the body of work plus these new tools and then come up with either unbelievably, uncannily accurate tracks or new sounds.
It's also hard to tell. I mean, I've seen people posting clips of, hey, here's a collab between these two musicians. And then they go, ha, kidding. I just created that using, you know, AI. And so like, how do you know anymore when you like, it's going to be really, really difficult to, I'm a bit concerned with identity as it applies to audio because you can't see, right? Like, visually, you can see when there's a fake bot on the screen. Like, you can, that's not real. But with audio, it's so perfect and so crisp and so clear right now. You can mimic people's voices. You can create songs. You can, like, I'm almost certain we're going to get a number one hit that's fake at some point.
Totally. Closing big enterprise deals is never easy. The last thing you want to do is slow down your sales team because of a lack of integrations in your product. And you know, B2B buyers, they expect integrations. You're a startup founder, you're building B2B software. They expect people management tools to work seamlessly with the payroll provider, to work with your CRM, to work with the accounting software. All this stuff has to be integrated in 2023 and going forward. And if it doesn't, it's a huge problem. You're probably going to lose the customer, right? But integrations, as you know, they're brutal to implement and they take a long time and you have to maintain them. What if there was a better solution? Well, there is. You need to use Merge, which makes app integrations seamless. Merge is the leading unified API that allows you to launch your integrations in days, not quarters. Merge is going to unlock new revenue opportunities and make your customers happier. Merge offers hundreds of integrations across seven important categories. HRIS, that's Human Resource Information Systems. ATS, that's the Application Tracking Systems. Accounting, CRM, ticketing, you know, all those. Marketing automation, of course. And, you know, table stakes, file storage. Merge has unlimited integrations, and they charge based on how many of your customers use these integrations. So you only pay for what you use, or I should say, what your customers use. So they're going to give you three linked accounts for free today at merge.dev/twist. Again, you get three linked accounts for free already at merge.dev/twist. Check it out. It is a game changer. I have a guy on YouTube I follow.
Mm-hmm.
He's called Laszlo Bernie. It's only got 34,000 subscribers, but check this out. This first one is The Sultans of Swing by Dire Straits, and if it was written by Pink Floyd. So this guy understands the style so well that he can, you know, play The Sultans of Swing as if it was Pink Floyd, you know, Dire Straits to Pink Floyd. And then you can also do a Pink Floyd song as Dire Straits.
Dire Straits.
So this is Comfortably Numb, famous Pink Floyd song, coming at you. K-Rock 97.5, New York City, Long Island, coming to you. Jones Beach, 87 degrees and overcast. We might get some thunderstorms while you're rocking the beach. Stick with us. Get some AA batteries for your CD player.
I tweeted out like a couple of weeks ago. These guys hired this actor who looks just like Paul McCartney. And they wrote this like parody song, and he actually played the song, but like they used AI for the voice. So it sounded just like Paul McCartney. They used AI for the actual song. But there's an actor. So now you think, what? That sounds like him? It looks like him? It's not an AI. It confused me because I thought it was an AI. I thought it was Paul McCartney for real, but they made it look. It was kind of weird. It's crazy.
Well, it's kind of like the deep fake Tom Cruise. Which
there we go.
We'll
that's
see.
The one. Yeah.
Oh my lord, that is. Okay, let's do another demo.
All right. Sure. Okay. So just continuing here, another area which I think is going to get really, really exciting, you know, ties into a bunch of spatial stuff, as we should call it now, because we don't use the M word anymore, is, 3D
generation.
The M
word being?
Metaverse.
Metaverse, yes. Well, it's spatial now that there's actually a real product.
Yes.
Made by a real company.
There's always been real products. So what you can see here, and you know, if you've ever been in and around Luma Labs.
Luma Labs. Okay, here we go. Yeah, Image Luma 3D Labs. Version 1.2 alpha. Okay.
Yep, exactly. And what they have here, and I don't have access, I'm on the wait list, but they have some, you know, pre-built 3D models. And so here I'm gonna just pull up a highly detailed sculpture of a squirrel wearing a purple hoodie. And, you know, this is a proper 3D model. And you can imagine this is incredibly valuable for folks that are building things in the spatialverse and or video games, anything along those lines. And this, if you've been in and around like 3D generation, this was a very, very, you know, kind of time consuming aspect. Yeah, and expensive. And so now, and, you know, for years, the way that this was mostly handled is there was these huge libraries of open source models that people would start with and then, you know, go from there. But now the ability to kind of generate these from a prompt is going to be incredible for the industry.
This is for video games as well. This is for Pixar movies. This is for any 3D modeling. Could be games, could be casual games, could be a movie or a TV show. So you can imagine immediately somebody taking a storyboard or sorry, somebody taking a screenplay, and you could literally upload a screenplay to this product with a little bit of glue. Maybe use Chat GPT or Bard as the general AI in this model and then tell it to use this one to make the characters. But you take it and just say, hey, you know, make Pulp Fiction, but with cute furry animals or miniature animals. And it just takes every character, makes them into puppets or whatever you choose. Yeah. And now you got a storyboard. And you just literally take scenes and say, make me this scene from Inglourious Basterds. And then just give it prompts to change the characters around until, you know, Quentin Tarantino feels a certain inspiration. This is really going to be amazing for ideation from directors and screenplay writers. And they want, and by the way, they want to ban it.
And on music, you know, a friend of mine who is a like kind of does a podcast, was a rapper, you know, he was saying what people don't understand with these music generated AIs, like what we were talking about earlier, is this is how music is pitched, right? So today, if you want to pitch something to a famous artist, you may write it and then you may lay it down on a track and then get it over. But to put it in their voice is going to be hugely beneficial for the creation industry. Because that's how, you know, that's the, and again, like, that's the general process. And I think, you know, Jake, you and I have talked about maybe having Rob Goldberg on to help us here, because, you know, he spent a lot of time in and around music. But that's the process, right? You come up with either the lyrics or the
beat. So I write this great song, I'm Sia. Yep. I write Chandelier. And instead of, and then I just say, hey, here's me singing it. But then you say, take the top 10 pop artists who are trending right now. And put it in their voices and send them a 1 minute sample to their phones.
Yes.
And whoever wants this song can have it for $1 million.
Yeah. And
wow, you know, that's powerful.
Yeah. And so that I thought that was a really interesting way of looking at it, because, you know, already today, you know, it's already happening. I may come up with a like a beat, or I may come up with the lyrics, and then I'm, you know, recording it and sending it over. And then the artist has to think about how they think about, you know, how it would sound in their voice. Now you can take it one step further, and then the artist says, oh, great, I want to take this on. So for creators, I really thought that was an interesting way for them to look at it.
Hmm.
And that applies here. If you, you know, if you've got a great game idea before getting it funded, you could build something that's like a prototype and then, you know, go off, get your funding and build out the whole, you know, the whole game.
All right. And as we were talking about before, here is the AI Steve Jobs. Jake Howe, shout out to Edward Brower.
I have one demo I prepared for us.
Great, well, awesome. You'll go next.
One demo and one other thing. It's not really a demo, but I'm going to show you guys and tell you what I think.
Oh my God.
That's kind of cute.
Here we go.
Oh, I saw this one.
Yeah.
Here's how they think. But this is Apple 101. It just didn't make sense to do a VR headset until now. When Apple releases something, it's because the preconditions for releasing something insanely great have been assembled. Really, that is the secret formula. Apple has made mistakes and you have to try things. But Apple tends to get the big things right.
Now, I think that brings us to Siri. Apple had an incredible lead and it seems to have vanished now. Siri feels antiquated. Isn't Apple dropping the ball at this point?
You know, sometimes when you are the first, that means that going back and redoing the architecture when there are big breakthroughs takes more time.
I'm like oddly compelled to keep listening, not for myself, but for Steve Jobs. I look like some weird hybrid of me and Christopher Walken. Steve Jobs, this reality headset is making my mind go cuckoo.
Yeah. I was thinking Edward Norton. You look a little bit like Edward Norton.
It's a little Ed Norton, too. It's a little Ed Norton going on there.
Yeah.
But not too shabby. Jobs. I bought Apple stock in 1979.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, they're better off doing it with the 3D models.
Yes. Right? But I mean, the thing I love about that version, I think that the copy was written by the individual, not by AI, is that it's familiar to have me interview a founder, which is cool.
Yep.
But if you put the right text in his, and you give him the right script, you know, and I, listen, respect to the family, and like, we're not making a mockery of anything here. It just does bring back this, and maybe there's some like period of time before doing these things that makes sense, but it does make me really miss Steve Jobs being in the industry and the incredible force he was. I don't mean to get emotional or anything, but like, he's just such a great force to have in the industry to comment on stuff and to push the industry, and it was like such a non-conformist and an incredible thinker that I just kind of miss hearing him pontificate. I could listen to the guy for hours. I have listened to the guy for hours. all right, you got a great idea for your tech startup. And hey, listen, you're going to change the world. I know you're going to do it, but there's a problem. You don't have engineers, right? You need engineers, you need those developers, but it's hard to find them. And it's certainly hard to find them quickly. So if you're trying to reduce your burn rate and you're in a tight spot and you need to get engineering talent right now, well, what you want to do is imagine there was a partner who could provide you with more than 1,000 on-demand developers. These are really good developers. They're vetted, they're experienced, results-oriented, and they're passionate about helping you grow your startup. And they're available at competitive rates. Does this sound too good to be true? Well, you need to head to lemon.io right now. Startups choose Lemon.io because they only offer hand-picked developers with 3 or more years experience, and they got to have strong portfolios. Only 1% of candidates who apply get in, and if something goes wrong, no problem. Lemon.io will get you a replacement as soon as possible. Many of our launch founders have worked with Lemon.io, and they've had great experiences. So here's your call to action to learn more. Go to lemon.io/twist and find your perfect developer or tech team in 48 hours or less. And Twist listeners get 15% off their first 4 weeks. So stop burning money, hire developers, and hire developers smarter by visiting lemon.io/twist. Vinny, your feelings?
I feel the same way. I think it's a good segue to talk about Vision Pro. I mean, like, this is the product. I think
none of us have used it yet. Gave select 30-minute demos to specific, I don't want to say friendly journalists, but, you know, they're very savvy about who they give access to these things. Yeah. And
Marquise Brownlee did a good one on YouTube on that. I saw that.
He's awesome. So, it's a little bit of the PR game that Apple plays. They'll give early access to folks who they know are super favorable to Apple. That doesn't mean they're going to get a glowing review, but I think they know how to use access to early products as a way to shape reviews, which I guess is all for love and PR but demos. Look,
I'd like to talk about this more like from a strategic perspective, because I think a lot of people came out criticizing the price point. Okay, like, who's going to spend and I want to make it clear, like, this is the first version of something which is game changing. You're going to get probably maybe even 1 million people buying it. And version 2 is going to be cheaper and better. Version 3 is going to be cheaper and better. And that's how Apple iterates. Apple Watch version 1 was sucked. Version 8 now is amazing, right?
You know what? I should say, that's not a based comment. It's a basic comment. Let me restate. The based comment would be, this thing just killed the Oculus, whatever, Rift 7.
Yeah.
What did you think,
Sonny? It didn't.
I think it does. I think it kills
it. No, it doesn't. Not this version. Not this version.
I think there was a couple of issues, right? If you take a step back, you look at almost every scenario they showed it in, it's highly, you know, sort of single player mode. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things that we've seen now is, you know, people maybe coming out of COVID or whatever it happens to be, return to the office, people want to be in multiplayer mode. And so that was something that really jumped out at me. I think another thing that really was unique in that, they have this mode where it shows your eyes. And so they're sort of contemplating you wearing it and then being around people that aren't wearing it. And I couldn't get my head around like what that use case would be, Jacob.
You're in your office.
So you're in your office and you're working, and then I come up to you and you're staring at me.
You're in your house. You're using it while cooking was like one example. Yeah. And you kind of have some transparency. Here's the Ready Player One dude. The reason why this just killed the entire metaverse and Meta's done is because of apps. When you see this demo, what this is going to do, I don't think it, when I say it just killed it, the reason I think it killed it is because if you're an app developer, this is going to be 95% of your focus. You're going to deprecate everything you're doing on the Oculus or whatever they're calling it. What do they call it now? The Meta Quest?
But Jason, I'm not sure I fully agree with you there. I think they're two different markets they're going after. I think that Facebook is definitely focusing on the gaming side of things a lot more than
productivity and communication.
Exactly. I think Apple is going to be, you know, it's a different market, and the price point, guys, it has to get down to sub $1,000 to go mass market. But that's going to take 5 years. In It'll those take five, less, but well, I don't think so. I don't think we get from 3,500 to
multiple models. Remember the iPhone they came out with that SE? I mean, what was it called?
I see, but that happens when basically you end of lifing the certain design. You have excess capacity. You can produce stuff.
That's what'll happen here.
I think it's three years minimum, probably five, most likely. Right. We can clip this.
People pay $1,500 for their iPhones now. $1,000 to $1,500. They boiled that frog.
It's been 16 years, Jason.
This thing at $1,000, this thing's flying off the shelves.
At $1,000, yes.
Ain't what it used to be.
But I don't think they're going to go from $3,500 down to $1,000 in 2 or 3 years, in two cycles. Sonny, what do you think?
Yeah, Sonny, what do you think?
Yeah, I think they'll get the price down. I'll take that side. I think they can get the price down.
By when?
When does it go $999?
Yeah, when
is it going to That's the price point. Yeah. When it gets under $1,000,
$995. Let's just use like the iPhone curve. So the iPhone really took off in that third generation of iPhone. And so I think, three to four years.
Yeah, that's what I would say. Between 3 and 5. Yeah. It will. Yeah. So I think we're all agreeing on a time frame here.
3 to 5 years. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So we have a time frame.
But so Meta, now the gauntlet's been thrown down. So they have to respond. What are they going to respond with? The Meta's going to be like the Android to Apple in this space, right? So it's going to be the cheaper. They're going to try and make it even cheaper. $500, $300, improve the quality, et cetera, et cetera. And they're going to compete with Apple. And when it's down to $995, the Quest is going to be $495 for whatever it is similar today, which is, I think, $800. And they'll probably get it on. So I don't think you're going to get, I don't think you're going to get everyone moving to Apple.
A different question on the pricing. So JKL, you know, in the videos that we were just showing there, which show it using it as like an infinite desktop, that's the cost of like those studio displays, right? Those Apple studio displays are, they're about, exactly, right? They're like $3,000 to $5,000.
Luxury product for them is that Mac Pro tower and those luxury widescreens.
I'm using one right now.
That's exactly my point. You're how much did you pay for that insanity? $5,000?
I can't remember. No.
It's at least $5,000.
The studio display is $2,000.
Okay. So just so you know, you could have bought the equivalent Dell monitor and it would have been bigger and just as crisp for half the price. And then put $1,000 Dell computer on the back of it and had a Mac and a Dell.
But I bought Apple.
You're getting a Dell.
I think this use case that we're showing in the video here, which is like an infinite desktop, I think is the right way to think about it. I think this is an interesting one for, which could really take off quickly in a trade-off with the studio display. And so that's that I find a little bit fascinating.
I just also would love to have this when I'm working, in a hotel room, on the road, in an Airbnb, on a plane, to be able to pull up your entire setup and to see through it. If the flight attendant goes by and you want to ask him for Coke Zero or something, you can still do it through your headset. This is the Minority Report future I've always wanted. So I love this. And I hate VR, but I can see myself using this. And
I don't use VR. I bought a couple of these things.
It's I don't like time. Being trapped
I would
in
use
it.
This
but
often.
Every developer on the planet is now looking at this going, you know what?
Yeah.
I have an app in the App Store. Every developer with an app in the App Store is saying, oh, what can I charge for this? So if your Notion, if your Grammarly, if your Weight Room, whatever product you are or service, whatever game, Calm.com, Fitbod, if you're Fitbod and one of our investments, you're looking at this going, you know what? I can charge $50 a year for people wearing this while they work out, and I can work on their technique. And when they just look around the gym, it uses visual AI to create an inventory of all your equipment. And then after it creates an inventory of your equipment, it creates you a workout based on you having, you know, dumbbells there or kettlebells or whatever. And then it directs you to the proper kettlebell of the proper weight and says, pick this one up. And it glows it red. You know, like this is your personal trainer, you know, AI personal trainer. In this goggles. Now, people in the gym would sound ridiculous wearing this, but if it got you a better workout, it'd be worth it.
So people glossed over this point that I'm going to make now. In the Apple announcement, they showed the integrations with Zoom, Microsoft Meetings, Waitroom potentially as well. They basically created this an SDK for video conferencing platforms to plug directly into this. And we're going to be the one of the first to do it.
Incredible.
It's going to be amazing. And yes. I think this is like they've really thought through how do you use these vision glasses, whatever you want to call it, to do remote work. To me, it looks like, as Sunny said, a single player mode product. It's like You're at home, it sits next to your bed or wherever it is, and you use it when you buy yourself. But when you go out and play multiplayer with your friends or you go to the office, you don't really need it.
You know, I got to think, like, you know, virtual whiteboard services like Miro, you pop this up, you got three people in the office, you know, in Palo Alto, and then you got two people, you know, Ukraine and two people in Uruguay and one person in Australia, and you're all just going through the product roadmap and building stuff in real time. I could see a remote team all deciding to wear these 10 hours a day and build together and be on the same, what do they call those, Kanban boards? Is that the right term?
Kanban,
Kanban. Kanban. You know, like a visual workflow.
And then you have summer AI in the background.
Well, you know, and then people could put on a track and say, hey, like when I worked in an office, we had a Sonos and people would put tracks on the Sonos. It was kind of a fun way to share music with each other. Some people would put their noise canceling headphones on and not participate in it, but it was like a fun thing to do on a Friday. But you could imagine people like walking up to the Kanban board, picking an item, a story, and then walking away with it and putting it on their task. And then me being able to walk over to their cube or whatever it is, and watch them working in real time, writing code. And like, there's just 10 desktops in a space. And I walk around like the plant manager at a factory. And I walk up to the designer's desk. I see them working. This would be a way to navigate the big tension between remote workers and the management. Management is scared that you're working on two different jobs and they can't see you.
Yeah.
Workers are like, trust us. We're going to do some side projects probably, but during the day, but when, you know, but just seriously, trust us. And then imagine you're during these 4 hour blocks, we're going to have 2 4 hour blocks, one in the morning, one in the afternoon. I could walk around and see everybody working and what they're working on and watch them work. It'd be kind of cool. And you know, it doesn't have to be creepy or anything. You could do the same thing. You walk over to my desk, and if you walk over, it just chimes me that you're there, you know, it's kind of like the, you know, Zuckerberg or, you know, walks around the design team. Hey, what are you working on? Just a casual meet and greet. You could just set it for maybe, hey, every afternoon for 3 hours, we're going to do a co-working session together. And you just have a virtual co-working session. What do you guys think?
I think it's great. And I'm looking forward to that world. I think this is a much needed product. I'm excited by it because I work from home. So like I am in single player mode all the time. This is, a lot of people do, by the way. Like I think it's a big enough market.
All right, Vinny, you got to go. Thanks for coming on. Congrats on your work on weightroom.com. Everybody go check it out. Check out the weight room. All right, let's rip through these. Sunny, a couple more demos for me.
Yeah, I do. We'll save some as well because, you know, let me show you this next one here.
I saw you doing Replit. I saw you writing some code.
Yeah.
Were you taking credit for some Replit Copilot code?
No. That's all mine. I mean, I did use a Copilot. I thought this was interesting. So this is using ControlNet to take QR codes, but make them artistic. So obviously we've seen these a lot these days because they're, you know, people use them for menus and, you know, and I actually, you know, I like the integration that Apple and everyone has done where you can just open up your camera and do it. You don't need anything kind of special. But this idea of turning it into a, and I think on this one right here, you can pull this one up if you want, and you can just put it on your screen if you want to pull your phone up, and it'll open the link up. And so the idea that you can make a QR code artistic and having the AI do it, I thought was really, really bright and just, you know, could open up a lot of new possibilities of embedding more information inside a scene or inside an advertisement and make it sort of native. And so all of these ones that I'm just scrolling through here can all trigger your iPhone or any, I guess, can be any phone.
Wow, these are stunning. What a great idea. Yeah,
they're really, really awesome.
This is all done with ControlNet.
ControlNet.
ControlNet is a stable diffusion model, correct?
Correct.
Part of stable diffusion.
Yeah.
It's basically prompts for you give it a reference image.
Yes.
Say this is what I want to start with. I believe that's the difference, right? ControlNet.
Yeah. You give it your image and then your QR code, and then it comes up with this, which is, you know, I was really blown away by these, and so anyways, I thought this was really
so cool.
And maybe we can do some of these at the summit.
For stable, for people who understand what stable diffusion is, maybe you could explain the, when people say stable diffusion, it's a little bit of confusion because it's an open source project and a company. Maybe you could explain what that is architecturally on a business basis.
Yeah, I'll just kind of go down the basics. Like, so when we talk about OpenAI, their models are like, you know, GPT-X, right? It's 1, 2, 3, 4.
And that's then how they name it. That's their naming convention.
That's their naming convention. And then they have a different one for DALL-E, which is their image generator. So Stable Diffusion has a model called Stability that is their image generator. And so Stable Diffusion is the company, and like that would be OpenAI, and they have a model called Stability AI that is their that's their model that they use.
And so you can use this open source project to make your own, you could fork it and make your own versions and compete against Stable Diffusion, the company. Or the startup company is called Stability AI, I guess.
The company is called Stability AI and their model is called Stable Diffusion.
Right. So this is super confusing. So this, for people who don't have the reference point here, if you listen to This Week in Startups, you probably do, WordPress.org. It's an open source project. A bunch of people for free contribute to the code. There's WordPress.com, which is a for-profit multi-billion-dollar company run by Matt Mullenweg that provides hosting services and services around that open source project. So you could take Stable Diffusion. You can make your own products and services out of it. You're well within your rights. There are some rights where you have to give back. But this is a great use of Stable Diffusion. Yeah. Crazy. All right, you got one more for me? Hit me with one more.
Yeah, the last one.
Yep. Oh, this is your replit?
Yeah, so here, you know, I just wanted to bring this up because I think a lot of people are tuning in and, you know, I think a lot of kudos here to Replit and then, you know, a couple of projects here, you know, specifically LangChain. And so what I, you know, wanted to show here is one, Replit makes it quite easy to get into a development environment and build something. You don't have to configure anything on your machine anymore. Everything's done in a cloud. It's like a hosted IDE that also has, you know, access to a shell and everything else it needs. And they make it easy to deploy. So what I did was I created my own chatbot here that sort of has three functions. It can do searches out in the internet, it can calculate things, and it can run some Python code. And you can see here, it's only about, you know, 60 lines of code for this. Incredible. And so it really is incredible. And I can deploy it. And if I go here, we'll just refresh this. This is, you know, I've deployed it out to here. And so we can ask something. You know, what is the weather in San Francisco, Francisco today? And what you'll see is it'll just kind of go through the process and realize it needs to, and it's here, it's like, had a thought, do I need to use a tool? Yes. That's current search. And then so it inputs this into weather in San Francisco today, it gets that back. Obviously, I'm just showing you the innards here, but you'll, if I didn't have that.
And it's using LLM chain.
It's using LangChain alongside a service that provides search engine results API. So SERP API is a service. Mm-hmm. And so it allows the LLM to go out to the internet to get this information, get the summary, and then provide it back. So if we didn't, so there's three steps. It first figures out it needs to use a tool. Then it looks for the weather. It gets that back from a search engine reply. It then says, do I need to do anything else? No, it has the answer. And then it basically returns that back. And so what I wanted to show here is, you know, for folks that are not and or have not been developing for a long time, the barrier to entry is quite low to build these bots. And, you know, there's lots of tools. So the tools I used in that particular code that I showed you here were very simplistic, you know, LangChain tools for current search or calculator in a Python runner.
Incredible.
I really want to encourage folks to go and try it, because between Replit and between these open source projects, you can get going quite quickly and you can create something that's pretty remarkable that runs, and you can even have it deployed out to the internet on a URL as you see here.
Yeah. Great. Awesome. Well done. All right. I think this is enough product. You should be inspired to go do more, friends of the show. I'm really excited about the Apple Vision Pro. I'll buy the first one. I think when it's combined with AI, but this is going to be one of the nice things about it, is it's going to land right as a lot of these AI development kits kind of hit some level of, you know, critical mass and or fidelity, let's say fidelity. And so it being able to look in your refrigerator and identify everything and just tell you the inventory of your refrigerator as you open and close drawers, I really think people are underestimating how great this would be. Just literally, you're going to be able to put this on, open each cabinet, look at each shelf, move stuff around, and then look at each of the boxes, and it will make you a list of everything in your cupboards. Then you're going to be able to tell it as you're looking at stuff. There'll be an interface, a ChatGPT interface for Uber Eats or Uber Grocery or Instacart or Good Eggs, and you'll literally be looking at your pasta shelf and say, you know what, add some Barilla Capellini to the checklist, and I'll be like, ding.
It's a great use case. I hadn't thought about that, but I think it'll be an excellent use case.
Imagine walking around your house, just looking at every single, appliance, and then having it catalog every appliance. I'm always thinking about estate management now because I have two houses, and you start to think about these things.
Yep.
Just walking around, looking at everything, the back and the front of everything, getting every model, and then it telling you, hey, you know, your Sonos is out of date. This is a 7-year-old Sonos. Here's the new ones. This is the cost difference. Would you like me to get you a quote for this, right? So you take something like Thumbtack, which we're investors in, and imagine Thumbtack, you just walk around your home and it's like, hey, you know, the handle's broken here. And you just speak out loud, what's wrong? I think this deck needs to be sanded. I think this needs to happen. Just boom, goes out and gets your quotes. Wow.
Yeah.
It being your assistant on the side, and this is where Siri could actually make an incredible recovery. Imagine Siri was able to do that, and they made a Siri connected to a ChatGPT-4 level.
I take the other side. I think you said it right. The apps will do it, right? And so there'll be incredible apps that you'll load up. It doesn't even have to be native within, sort of the operating system of the headset. So you'll just have an app that's there for inventory, app for what should I do, what can I eat. I think you'll have all these kind of use cases. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. All right. Listen, amazing job. Really appreciate you taking the time to come on again. And we'll see you all next time on This Week in Startups. Bye-bye.